Last week, if you'll remember, the title of the message was Live. And so, in order to understand what it means to live, we had to discuss what death is. And if you recall, the simple explanation is that death is separation. And the death that we must fear the most is that separation from God. Adam and Eve, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, didn't immediately die the physical death, the separation of soul and body, but they did immediately suffer the separation from God, because it's impossible for that imperfection, sin, to be part of a perfect God. And so God said, I figured out a way to reconnect with my people, to make them part of my perfection. But in order for that to happen, I have to take away their sinfulness, their evil nature that they have now. And so he sent Jesus. Perfection. God himself came to pay for our sins. To make a way that we might connect with God. To become alive again in an eternal and spiritual way. But as long as we remain on this earth, that cleaning up isn't fully achieved. We, in our sinful nature, keep on sinning. And so God continues to work in our lives. That process, that ongoing happening in our lives, is what we call sanctification. The process of being made into what God wants us to be. And we make a little progress and we fail. And so God has to work in us. And eventually, we will be separated from this sinful part of us, death, and connected completely with the perfection of God, eternal life. I'd like to discuss this a little bit this morning, and the passage of scripture we're going to look at first is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at the third verse. In your pew Bibles, it's page 1204. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at the third verse. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he gave us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please notice that Peter is saying that God, working through our faith, makes it possible for us to participate in his divine nature, in his perfection. Having escaped from the eternal dominion and damnation of sin by this communion or this connection or participation in God, in God's perfect nature, we can get away from that evil, that eternal damnation. Now, it doesn't mean, as I said before, that we've successfully left behind our sinful nature immediately. You pray the prayer of the confessor and immediately, no more problems, no more sin. No, we all know better than that. But as it's happened already, God has saved us, then we move forward looking for that confirmation in our own minds, that understanding, that realization that says, I now have the assurance of what God has already done for me. And so Peter lists these things, these attributes, that we can look into ourselves and say, are they there? Do I see these things in my life? If I do see these things in my life, God put them there. They are proof. They are opening up my eyes, so I'm no longer blind, so that I can see, oh yeah, I belong to Jesus. I can see it in my life. I can look back and say, oh yeah, God is working. Now understand, these things do not save you. Just like the law that we read does not save you. But they are evidence of what's in your life. Remember last week, we talked about language? You know, what's in you comes out. If you've got evil in you and you open your mouth, what falls out? Vulgarity, filthiness. If you don't allow that to be in you anymore, you open your mouth and you're filled with God's Spirit, and what comes out? Proof that you're filled with God's Spirit. So, Peter lists these things. Attributes we ought to pursue. Goodness. Knowledge. Self-control. Perseverance. Godliness. Affection. Love. These are the qualities that God uses, the power in our lives that make possible the full Christian life. It's through these tools that our connection with God is made evident. Now, Peter encourages us not to be stagnant or satisfied with our present condition. He says, this is back in verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without these qualities, if they're not present in your life and increasing, then we begin to doubt. We don't see the proof. Now, the human body is made in such a way that we perceive stimulation. We perceive change. If you were to get in a tub of water that's the same temperature as your body, and you were just to float in that water and not move, after a while your body says, there's nothing here. I don't feel anything. And experiments indicate that if the human body is deprived of sense long enough, it starts to get agitated and even can go to the point of madness. You see, change is what we perceive. And if there is no change in your body and in your life and in your spirit, then you begin to perceive nothing. And so the person that gets enthusiastic in the church and grows in the church and comes to the point where they give their life to Jesus and they stand up before the congregation and they make a profession of faith. And then they think, I have arrived. I've accomplished what God has called me to do. Now I have my life free ahead of me to do what I want to do with it. And then, since no growth is happening, since no change is happening, pretty soon they say, nothing's happening here. And they begin to miss a service here and a service there. And since they don't feel anything, there's no sense of being part of the body of Christ, part of the church. And so they come less and less, and pretty soon they're here maybe on Easter and maybe Christmas. And then if they're honest with themselves, they start to look at themselves and say, am I really a Christian? And quite frankly, the people around say the same thing. Is that person a Christian? And you have to doubt your salvation because you are now blind to what God has already done in your life, just as Peter said. And so you've become ineffectual. You can't see what God has done for you. These attributes aren't showing up in your life. And so your assurance of your salvation isn't there in your own self, in your mind. Now, if you're saved, be assured you are saved. But you see, you can't tell it because there's no evidence. And so, you ask the question, isn't there something I need to do to confirm, to make sure that I'm saved? And if you're a good Calvinist, and if you've been listening, you're going to say, no, there's nothing you can do. Oh yes, there is. There is something you have to do. Not that it earns your salvation. You can't earn that. You can't make it happen. But once you have that salvation, you must do the things of God. You must do the things that show evidence of what God has done in your life. Not to earn your salvation, but to prove to yourself, to confirm in your own self, I have the assurance that God has saved me. Because I can look in my life and I can see the evidence of what he's done in my life. You see, all of these good works that God prepared for us to do beforehand, the good works for us to walk in, don't earn salvation, they prove salvation. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, Peter says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. That's here, to make sure that you understand that you have this assurance. So you're not finishing the mortgage payment. You're not filling out what Jesus was not successful in finishing. You are beginning to own and enjoy the benefits of your connection with the perfect God. And Peter says this, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just a welcome, a rich welcome. So, God has saved you. That means that you are living. living, being connected to a perfect God. That's already been paid for. It happens once. You get connected. God says it's a done deal. You're not perfect yet. You keep pulling away. But you're mine. And Jesus said, I'm not losing any of mine. If they're mine, I got them. Okay, that's living. If Jesus is your Lord and Master, you're living. But it goes further. The next slide says, fully enjoying all the benefits of that relationship. Now, who better to describe what that looks like? In Matthew 7, Jesus said this. This is page 961 in your pew Bibles. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now understand, doing the will of my Father doesn't earn it. Doing the will of my Father proves that I've already given it to you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away with you, evildoers. You see, we know in ourselves why we do what we do. Are you doing it because you want people to look at you and say, wow, that person's pretty good? We look around our community and we say, that's a good person, that's a good person. So what? Are those good deeds in God's eyes? You can't do real good deeds unless you're connected to God. Jesus said, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only those people will provide the physical evidence of their connection. And as Peter says, no evidence of their blindness, because they will see that they're connected to God. Now, in Matthew 6, Jesus said this, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. You'll have your reward here. And that's it. And then you're done. Don't expect anything more. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I keep saying it over and over. You ought to have this verse memorized. Because you see, it's a gift of God. Not of works. And so, we understand the purpose that we have in this life is to do the will of God, to become connected with God. And so if God, in his goodness, has made it possible for us to do those things that he calls us to do, then we have fulfilled our purpose. That is a full life. And if we are connected to God as we fulfill his purpose for us, then we live fully. In John 10, the 10th verse, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Live fully. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Father, you've given those that you've chosen, I hope everyone here, life. Now work in us that we might live life fully, supporting one another, building one another up, leading one another, teaching one another, pushing each other to be your children, connected with you in your perfection.
All this we ask, not because we're worthy of anything, but because you have paid for us through Jesus' blood and passion. Amen.